The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Explore the Word, where we're going through the Bible and looking at the thread of redemption through all the books. We'll be getting to 2 Thessalonians in just a few moments, but we want to welcome you and say thank you for tuning in, and we hope you're having a blessed day. Alex, you're not on the road. You're in North Carolina this week, aren't you?
Well, I am. I am. Listen, after the weekend, I'll be heading over to Tupelo for a few days, and so that'll be good, but like a lot of people, there's going to be some holiday, you know, Memorial Day weekend things going on, I'm sure. And we've got a big cookout Saturday with several churches and pastors and different friends. And I guess I've had that on my mind. Listen to this, Bert. I got to tell you this. Last night, I dreamed about this cookout we're having Saturday. And in my dream, I had to stop and do Exploring the Word. Now, we don't do the program on Saturdays, as I think everybody would know, but true story. Last night, I'm having this dream, and I think I'm at this cookout, and I said, y'all, I got to stop because I've got to do the radio. We've got to do Exploring the Word, so give me an hour. And somebody said, you're going to do a radio show from here? Now, I've got this thing called a Comrex that I take all over the country, and many of you listening, I've been to your churches. Anyway, I'm trying to, in my dream, explain how I can do this radio show anywhere in the country. Somebody says, how do you do a coast-to-coast radio show from here? And I said, well, we turn it up real, real loud.
Amen.
That's not how it works, though, is it?
That's not how it works. It's amazing how many people.
I dreamed that last night.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people think you and I or side by side each day. And I said, no, that happens about 4 or 5, maybe 6 times a year. But the rest of the time, yeah. Alex is on the road. He's got this instrument called the Comrex, and it puts him right here like it sounds. He's in our studio side by side. And, brother, listen, that is at least not a nightmare. So that was good. I'm telling you, real
so we
loud.
don't turn it up loud. That's no, not how we do it. But in all seriousness, we're going to get in 2 Thessalonians, and what a wonderful letter that is. But Bert, I think we would be remiss if we didn't take a moment to pray. And certainly, everybody knows the world is in shock at the terrible terrorist act that took place late yesterday, and so we need to recognize that and pray, don't we?
We do, but also I'd like for us to pray for our president. He's making this tour, his first international tour. He's been to Saudi Arabia. He's been in Israel, went to the Wailing Wall. He is the first president to attend some of the sacred sites there, Christian sacred sites, and he's been very brave to do that. He's going on to the Vatican to visit with Pope Francis, and so we want to pray for him. So what we're doing today, we're praying for those that are hurting, but we're also praying for those that could possibly have wisdom from God to do something to let things like this not happen anymore, Alex. So it's praying for protection, and it's praying preventive, but it's also praying for his comfort for those who are hurting, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know what? We, the church, we need to unite our hearts and our minds in prayer and our voice and ask that the Lord would restrain evil.
Amen.
And let's pray for God, the Holy Spirit, whatever schemes are being planned and whatever nefarious terrorist plots are being thought up, that God would hinder that God would put a roadblock against all that. And so I really think, Bert, the church in every era has different things. And, this year, 2017, is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And we're here today, really, on the centuries-long ripple effect of the Reformation. Our assignment in this generation, among others, there are a number of assignments, but we need to pray for the conversion of the Muslim world, and we need to pray for terrorism to come to an end immediately.
Amen. Let me make one or two statements, and we need to pray. One of them is a scripture in 2 Thessalonians. When you use the word restraint, I couldn't help but think of what it says in chapter 2, verse 7. Listen to this, Alex. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. In other words, it was that true in Paul's day. It's true today. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit is restraining the evil. Can you imagine what it would be like if it were not for the Holy Spirit? And when we talk about the tribulation and the Holy Spirit not being there, we're not talking about him not being able to save, but we're talking about the restraining minister. The Holy Spirit will be taken away. So we're praying for restraint. The other thing I wanted to say, I've read about three articles on this, and this is amazing. We know of all the refugees that have come to Europe. It's causing great difficulty, havoc. But even in the midst of that tragedy, guess what's happening? More Muslims are being saved in Europe today than European citizens. There's
wow.
been several places in the conclaves of that where Christians they've gone as missionaries, the churches. There's several churches that have been revived beyond measure as they've seen these refugees come to Jesus Christ. So in the midst of the turmoil, we see God taking something that was bad and turning it into good. God specializes that, and that's what we want to pray for London, even in this Manchester bombing, that God would intervene in the lives of those people who are affected, and also that would bless our president as he talks with these world leaders. And Alex, would you mind leading us in this prayer, brother?
Let's pray, yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the privilege of prayer. And Lord, we thank you just for the inexpressible comfort that we have knowing that you are on your throne and that you are in control. And Lord, in this fallen world, there's sin, and we saw just a great manifestation of sin yesterday, that terrorist act, and the bomber that died by his own weapon. And Lord, we know that breaks our heart and it grieves you as well. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for peace throughout this world. Right now, if ISIS or any other terrorist groups are planning other attacks and the shedding of human blood, Lord, prevent it. And Lord, we pray for the Spirit of God to make this world a safe place, Lord, so that we can live for you, we can win souls for you. And Lord, I do pray that you'll comfort those people there in Europe who have lost loved ones. Lord, restore order, give wisdom to the authorities. And I do pray for our president who is visiting places other presidents haven't gone. Please keep him safe. Lord, give him wisdom. Lord, I pray for a very special measure of the Holy Spirit of God to be on President Trump and Vice President Pence and all of their cabinet, all of their security, all of their advisors. And Lord, the people that are abroad, the people that are domestic here at home, Lord, I do pray that leaders around the world would unite, and Lord, that terrorism would be brought to an end. But even more than that, Lord, we pray, as Bert said, the conversion of these precious souls. The Muslims need Jesus. All people need Jesus. And Lord, we know the answer to all of the human problems is salvation through Christ, your Son and our Savior. And so, Lord, for comfort, for safety, for restoration, for order, for righteousness, for comfort and salvation that only you can give, Lord, we pray for our world, and we thank you. And Lord, give us the grace and the obedience to be much in prayer in the days ahead. Lord, we love you. We make this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Alex. Thank you so much. And we hope that you will be praying for our president. We know many are even cursing and trying to put curses on him with the power that they have, which is limited. But the power of God is unlimited. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we need to make prayer a vital part of what we're doing.
We do. And, you know, Bert, let me say this, that part of the visceral reaction against the president, look, I'm not, you know, none of us are perfect, but he has been very vocal in his stand for life. He's been very vocal in his stand for Israel and the defense of our Constitution and many of the principles that were in the heart of the founders 241 years ago. And so it's no secret that in the media, in many quarters here domestically and even around the world, there's been hatred for the president. So we do need to be fervent and pray. And we know, look, our hope is in Jesus. Our trust is ultimately in the Lord. But, Bert, whenever people ask me, they'll say, you know, I'm a Christian. Should I care about politics? And I say, well, only if you care about the future you're going to live in. Amen. Because legal, political, international affairs do impact the way we live, the life we live, and our ability to serve the Lord.
Alex, I just thought of something that I had never connected before because of the system of government we live in. It says, pray for those that are in authority.
Right.
Yes, in America, because of the right to vote and our Constitution, we as citizens are people with authority. The authority of the vote, the authority. So people that say, oh, we should not be involved, they're denying exactly what the Word of God says concerning the authorities that are over us, because that is the case here in America because of this republic, this constitutional, democratically voted on republic, we have that. So anyway, let me introduce something real quickly in 2 Thessalonians, and we'll take the rest of it during the second segment, and then we'll take phone calls. But let me do this real quickly in the time we have left in the first segment, Alex. Really, 2 Thessalonians was written probably a few months later than 1 Thessalonians, because he wrote concerning the day of the Lord, and then they were confused that the day of the Lord had already come. With that in mind, let me read chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I know everybody gets so excited about the falling away and the son of perdition being revealed. But the key part here is in verse 3, do not let people deceive you. Don't be deceived, because they were people that came. They were wondering about the loved ones who had died in chapter 2. And he said, they're all right. They're waiting. And he talked about the second coming. And then the false teachers come in and say, well, it's already taken place. And he has to write a letter further explaining it, doesn't he?
Exactly. Don't be deceived. Don't be overtaken, you know, and be misled. And, you know, that there's a caution for that nowadays. We don't want to be misled by false teaching, whether that's about the end of time or the means of salvation. We need to take what the Word says.
And verse 4 says, now here's what the son of perdition will do. It's what it says the Antichrist, but John says there's many Antichrists that's come into the world. Verse 4 describes what they do, Alex, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped. That's the whole idea. Anytime Satan has anything to do with, it'll take the attention off Jesus to exalt himself, won't it?
Exactly, exactly. That's why we have to keep our eyes and our voice, our message on Jesus.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio, and we're going to be back right after the break, with more of 2 Thessalonians.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Discernment, being able to know the difference between the holy and the profane. One of my favorite verses goes like this: test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from all forms of evil. Discernment, or rather the lack of discernment, has become so obvious today, hasn't it? In a world of relativism, what is right in your eyes may not be right for someone else. What is pornographic, they say, may be art to another. However, truth isn't relative. There is right and wrong. There is good and evil. Yet even many who claim to be Christians don't know the difference. According to a Gallup poll, only 24% of Americans even believe that the Bible is the actual Word of God. How can you and I know the difference between the holy and profane? By spending time with God in His Word and in prayer daily. This is a Decency Minute. Find out more by visiting us on the web at americandecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
When we celebrate communion, we're proclaiming the Lord's death. Dr. Tony Evans says there's more to that declaration than most believers realize. He'll talk about the power and authority we find at the Lord's table as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Communion is not merely taking bread and drinking cup, it's sharing Christ's life. When you share Christ's life, you get to preach a sermon. To whom? You get to preach a sermon to the demons, because it's the demons that are your problem, because they got this competing table. Around the table, you literally have permission to tell the demons and the devil to go to hell, because that's their home. In other words, communion is the place of covenantal authority. You won't get it in a sermon, you won't get it in a song, but you will get it at the Lord's table. Because he says, there you get to proclaim my death. What did my death do? Colossians 2:15. It put the devil under your feet. The reason he has more victory than he ought to have in our lives is we're not sharing Christ's life. We have legal marriage without intimate relationship. And he says, the place you get that is at the table. So he says, as often as you do this, you proclaim to hell the victory of my death. If hell is telling you what to do, controlling your mind, your emotion, your health, your money, your attitude, your relationship, your action, he says, that's because you don't take my table seriously.
Tony gets you fully equipped to live a successful, productive Christian life in his CD series, The Spiritual Toolkit, available online at tonyevans.org. Check it out today. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom, plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're looking at 2 Thessalonians, and we're looking at Christ in that. And there's two things that were troubling the church at Thessalonica. One was tribulations and difficulties. That will always be a part of what every generation has to deal with, whether it's social or personal. You'll have to deal with that. And Alex, I could not help, and I saw this and it blessed my life. Verses 6 and 7 of chapter 1, I know we went over chapter 2 because that was the main theme, and the thread of redemption is through Christ coming back. But this is it true. The Redeemer is also with us in our tribulations, and he's going to make it right. Let me read verse 6 and 7, and I want you to comment on it after I share this. It says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. In other words, God's going to make it right one day. Right now, it may not look. It may look uneven. It may look unfair, but God's going to do it. Now, listen to this verse 7, and this should give us great, great relief. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. I underlined, I highlighted. If I'd have had neon lights, I'd have put that in verse 7. To give you who are troubled rest. Alex, you and I, we travel. I do a lot of interim work at the same church for a period of time while they're looking for a full-time pastor. But what I do. I find out people that are troubled. They're troubled on every hand, similar to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says we're being perplexed, we're troubled, difficulty. But here, isn't this a great promise? He'll and to give you who are troubled rest. That's an awesome promise, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, it's interesting. The word rest there in the Greek language is the word anesis, from which we get anesthesia. Now, it's not like anesthesia, like getting put to sleep for surgery, but it really means relief. Now, you know, we've talked about in salvation, I mean, positionally, you're in Christ. If you've trusted the Lord, you've been born again, you're secure forever. But in terms of not only your position in Christ, but your experience here and your eternity, I mean, there's going to be relief from the pressure, from the dangers, the stresses, just the unrelenting struggles and pains of living in a fallen world. Bert, I believe we can have great, great, great seasons of refreshing. You can call it freedom or relief or rest, as the King James translates it. We're going to have an eternal rest, but I think we can have great, almost like a glass of cool water on a hot day, times of relief and refreshing daily, maybe even hourly here along the journey, don't you?
Amen, brother. And he gives that rest. He is. Matter of fact, let me just share this. We talk about him giving it. Honestly, Alex, he is the rest. And
yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, we get the 2 minutes with Tony, you know, between the first break and second break, and you and I worship along with the audience as they get to listen with 2 minutes with Tony.
I love this hour, yes, for exploring the Word, but just because in my headphones I hear Tony Evans twice an hour.
Amen. And what this does, now think about it, he talks about the reason we're defeated is because we're like he said, we're legally married, but we're not being intimate with Christ, okay? We've got this relationship. It is real. It is true. But we also need that fellowship, which brings that rest and that peace, don't we?
We do. We do. You know, there's a great song about come to Jesus, flee to Jesus, and then one day we're going to fly to Jesus.
That's right.
And we need to do that. I do a lot of airplane flying, and airplanes are frequently late. And the other day I was in an airport waiting, and there was a delay, and, you know, oftentimes there's a domino effect. Well, you know, I've watched a lot of people have a meltdown in the airport. And I mean, bless their heart, the gate agent can't do anything about it. They can't help it. And I've watched many a person unload on the gate agent. And frankly, I've gone up and talked to a few people and tried to share the gospel with them. But I remember just about a week ago, I was watching a man just absolutely unravel. And I just thought to myself, I said, Lord, thank you. You know, I don't want to be late either. However, if I'm late, I still belong to the God of the universe. If I lose some money, had to get a hotel room, and I'm out, you know, $60 or whatever, hey, my needs will be met in Christ Jesus. And I don't know, Bert, the longer I live and the more, you know, there's stresses, responsibilities, I thank God, you know, 50 times a day, thank you, Jesus, Amen. That I can rest in you, because whatever life throws at me, God's got it under control. Amen. I mean, he's got the plan, and I don't need to worry.
Amen. The great missionary, Bertha Smith, who became just an awesome speaker here in America in the 1970s, she would do what we would call the Deeper Life conferences with men like Adrian Rogers and Ron Dunn, and it was just powerful. And she'd say, you need to remember, whatever is coming upon you had to go through God's sieve first. It had to go through that filter.
Right.
And with his power and his strength, he's not going to let us take on more than we can bear. He's going to bear it up with us. He stands with us, but he also controls that. And I know people get so upset because of all the horrible things that are happening in the world. We get phone calls here. We may get one today. Why is all these innocent people suffering? I don't mean to be simplistic. We live in a fallen world, and God's already done something about it through Jesus Christ on the cross. And what we're talking about today in 2 Thessalonians, he's going to do something about it ultimately in restoring peace, not only into our lives, but he's going to restore the peace in this world, Alex.
Yeah.
And let me give this introduction so we make sure and stay on target. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 is talking about all the things that are bad. The lawless one will come. He will deceive. He'll have power and signs and wonders, and he'll have, it's called in verse 10, all unrighteous deception. That phrase really got me. You have to watch unrighteous deception. Now, all of that is said, but I wanted to get to verse 13, and you may want to go back and pick some of that up, but let me give it to 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions, the ones that I've taught you, what you've been taught of me, whether by word or by epistle. And in this great, Paul says, yes, the world looks like it's falling apart. You may be discouraged. You may be in tribulation. And you may have lawlessness around you. But our hope is in God himself, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do one day, Alex.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Whether by word or our epistle. And that really is a reference to the fact that either through the scripture and the preaching of the scripture or even our life, you know, it says, stand fast in the things you've been taught. In other words, the rock solid realities of the gospel, whether by word or our epistle. Anything of Jesus that you've heard from us or perhaps seen in us, that's what you need to hang on to. Now, you know, it's talking about this, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this in verse 14 of chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, whereunto you he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, speaking of the glory of God that is what's to be manifested in our life, go back to verse 12 of chapter 1. You know, stresses, deceptions, a world of darkness. But look, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you know, we're going to get to Titus in a little while, and it talks about adorn the gospel of our God in Titus 2:10, garnish the gospel. In other words, set the table in an appealing way. Bert, even in the toughest of times, I mean, part of our job description as a believer is to let the glory of God be reflected from us to him so that others will be pointed to Jesus. Am I right?
You are right. That's why we're still here. Now, he wanted us all to be saved. And once you're saved, he could choose, and he has chosen some, to take them very quickly to be with heaven with him. But he's left us here to glorify him, that others might see the hope of glory that's in us, and that is Christ Jesus. That's why you're still here. If you're a follower of Jesus and you've come to him in this relationship of lordship and you're still living, his purpose is to for Jesus to be glorified so others could see Jesus in you. And that hasn't changed since the book of Acts all the way through, even unto today. And Alex, I agree with you. The glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is repeated again and again here in 2 Thessalonians. That's what he was trying to make sure these Thessalonians knew were, you're here for God's glory, and you're not here just to promote yourself.
Right,
That's still true today, isn't it?
Well, it is. And you know, earlier in the show, you were talking about voting and authority, that we've been given authority. And indeed, we have. And really, authority and influence. I mean, if you've got a position of influence, that's a stewardship you need to take really seriously. Bert and I, we go around and preach. And I think if somebody is in a position of influence, they really, really do have an obligation to be mindful of how they live, that heaven forbid, we don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. But Bert, you remember when Jesus said, you are salt and light, you're the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? Every one of you, you know, you might not really think you have a lot of influence, but you do. I mean, I guarantee somebody notices you, somebody, somewhere. And we're to remember that we are to be salt. We're a seasoning. Salt is a preservative. In the ancient world, salt was a sacred thing. It was used for currency. It was used to signify agreements. And we are to remember that the glory of God and the influence for the gospel, those really are our twofold callings, aren't they?
They are, and we need to fulfill them, and that's our purpose. Look at chapter 3, because we're coming again about 5 minutes away from our break, where then we'll take questions. And that number, if you want to call and get ready to ask that question, is 888-589-8840. Lines will be open, and we'll get to you after the break. 888-589-8840. Chapter 3, again, it's a short letter here, but he says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Man, that's so important. And Alex and I, we want to come in alongside with Paul and ask you to pray for us. Alex, just what you said, that we'd give God the glory with the platform he's given us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified just as it is with you. I want to talk a little bit about that free course. That's the privilege of in America. That right now, and we struggle and we fight for religious freedom so that the gospel can have free course working with missions. And it doesn't have to be underground. It can be in the public. It can be in the airways like we're doing now. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Now listen to this. Verse 3, it really grabbed me, and I hope it does you as well. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. They were concerned about the man of sin. They were concerned about how powerful Satan is. And God says, you get right with God. God is faithful, and he'll establish you. He's got you in his hands. He has you on the foundation and guard you from the evil one. There's that, right. Again, that filter that God protects us from a lot of things that would come our way if it were not him guarding it and keeping it away, isn't it true?
That's right. By the way, in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, there's the New Testament philosophy of welfare. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if anyone would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. You know, the Bible says that in a few places, Galatians 6:9 and 1 Peter 2:15, to do well, in other words, to live righteously. And there's a lot to be said about quietly going about one's business and making your own way, isn't there?
It is, and really tie these two things in. If you got time on your hand, don't be a busybody, be a servant. That's the whole idea. You know, quote, retirement. There may be a time when you're able to not have to punch a clock, you know, at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning, punch out at 4, or that time may come. But the idea of stopping and not working is not in the Bible. And
that's
so,
right.
Because what's the tendency? I really do believe the tendency is to become a busybody when you have time on your hands that you should not have, Alex.
Well, for men, it can be very, very counterproductive. I mean, I've known a number of people that, you know, had a heart attack or went downhill really fast. You know, I'm a guy, and I like to be busy. Bert, I really think if you want to torture somebody, set them on a shelf and give them nothing to do. That's why, you know, really, I think for some, and I know many, my goodness, so many people, when they retire, they're able to devote lots of time to the church and the Lord's work, and that's so inspiring. But just to sit around and do nothing, oh, man, deliver me.
Amen. Listen to verse 16. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
888-589-8840. We've got lines open. We've got some people already ready to ask their questions. But you got time to call in and get your question in. Alex and I would love to hear from you today. 888-589-8840.
What are some simple steps for rebuilding our nation? Ruth Graham saw a highway sign she liked so much, she had the words inscribed on her tombstone, "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." Whether we're on a personal journey to spiritual maturity or attempting to rebuild a nation, it's an ongoing process. When God's people returned from captivity, they found their homeland in shambles, Nehemiah appeared on the scene and the walls of Jerusalem were still in ruins. Although he was not a king or priest, this passionate servant was so moved, he wept, prayed, and began the process. You don't have to be a minister, prayer leader, or great theologian to join in rebuilding America. The path to restoration begins with a prayer of brokenness, humility, and recognition of need. Would you consider joining the Reconstruction Team? I'm Kay Horner, Executive Director of the Awakening America Alliance for OneCry.com.
Being there is half the battle. 1MillionDads.com exists to help Christian fathers to be present and intentional in the lives of their children. Our hope is to wake up the fearsome wonder that is the mighty man of God and restore him to his role as leader, teacher, and counselor. We'll help you learn and grow as a Christian father. We'll support each other when we fail to be the dad Christ calls us to be. Visit 1MillionDads.com. 1MillionDads.com.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
8 Days of Hope 13 is headed to Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope is a faith-based ministry. We've gone all over the country to help families rebuild after natural disasters. We've helped almost 1,800 families rebuild their homes, sometimes from the ground up. Lafayette, Louisiana, and the whole state of Louisiana got hit by epic flooding last year in August. Almost 25 inches of rain fell, and almost $20 billion of damage was done. Literally 140,000 homes flooded. Think about that, 140,000 families waiting for somebody to be a glimpse of Jesus. You can be a skilled professional, or you can be somebody like me who's less skilled but wants to give back. Go to 8daysofhope.com. We provide the food and lodging, and you can learn a lot more about the ministry. And we can't wait to see you in Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Thank you for listening. We're going to go straight to the phone lines. Alex and I, we enjoy this program. We enjoy discussing the scriptures and seeing things, but we also enjoy hearing from you and answering your questions. So we want to go to Wesley from Alabama. Wesley, welcome.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. You're good, brother.
I live in Soley, Alabama. Have y'all ever been here?
Soley. S-O-L-E-Y?
No, haven't been there.
It's just north of Gulf Shores. Anyway,
Foley or so? Did you say Foley?
Yeah, Foley.
Yeah, brother, I've been to Foley, Alabama. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great place. I keep my radio on AFR. I think they ought to just sell radios that only tune to AFR.
God hey, bless you.
Wesley,
amen.
I want to tell you about this mechanic we heard about. Every time he works on a car, when he finishes it up, he goes in and he gets the radio and he puts every button so it'll go to AFR. That's a ministry, okay?
Amen.
So go ahead, Wesley, with your question, brother. Thank you.
This is my question, and it's on creation. And this just seems so cut and dry. I want to hear Alex kind of dig a little deeper on it. But it's about creation. Now, we know that the Ten Commandments are in two books in the Old Testament. They're in Exodus, and then they're in Deuteronomy. But it says in the first set, in Exodus 20, that it says, remember the Sabbath day. To keep it holy, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the Sabbath day is in, you know, it's supposed to be Sabbath. But in the 11th verse, it says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the Sabbath day. Therefore he blessed the Sabbath, that he worked 6 days and he rested, just like we're supposed to work 6 days and then we rest on the seventh. Now, doesn't that mean that God made the world and the heavens and everything in 6 days? I mean,
it's yeah. Perfect. And let me interject this, and I think I know where you're going with it, but. Yes, God. I believe in six-day creation, that God in six 24-hour days created, and he rested, and we are to rest. What Bert and I have brought out a few times on the program is, though, that the keeping of the Sabbath is not a part of the gospel that saves you. Now, there's going to be a Sabbath day of rest, a thousand-year millennium. You know, human history has gone on for 6,000 years, and so a lot of people, and I believe this, although I don't know the exact dates, but roughly there's been 6,000 years of human history, and there's going to be a 1,000-year day of rest, a millennium. And so I believe in keeping a Sabbath, but that we've just tried to make sure that that wasn't a part of the gospel.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree, Bert?
I'd agree with you fully. And again, I'm a six-day creationist as well. There are those that believe it means a time span. I honestly, as I've looked at it and tried to be open to both, Alex, I find more trouble with it representing just a time frame rather than a day than believing the day. And so I take that as 6 days as well on the other part of what Wesley was talking about as well as the Sabbath as well. Thank you, Wesley. And yes, Foley, Alabama. I won't talk about it, but there's a good restaurant there that throws some rolls, and it's a good place. Okay, let's go to Jake in Mississippi. Jake, welcome.
Hi, thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. Thank you for your ministry. God bless you and all that you do. I really appreciate your program. I listen to you almost every day. And I do have a rather serious comment about the Manchester incident, the tragedy there. First of all, God have mercy and bless all the families affected by the tragedy. I also would like to say that I hear a lot of, you know, commenting on the tragedy from different radio programs and what a tragedy it is, but I never hear anyone asking why. Why did these terrorists target that event and that particular concert? In my opinion, I think that they have some moral motive, supposedly, in that these artists, these entertainers, a lot of them are very immoral people so far as what they represent in their music and their lyrics and their content and their videos is very immoral. It's very perverse so far as the sexual content, cursing, nudity, all these very sexually suggestive content on their albums and in their concerts. And I would just like to say, America, please be aware that these artists that you're supporting are not agents of God. They're very representative more of Satan. And I don't know if you're aware of Ariana Grande's content. She's very sexually explicit, very so much for a young artist such as she is, and a very bad representative for the young ladies of America and around the world. And I was just wondering, is that part of the reason why they targeted her concert? Because in Islam, they have a similar moral code to Judaism and Christianity. And they see the immorality of this artist and how she's affecting the audiences, not only in America, but around the world.
Okay,
and
Jake, you're right. Two things I would say about that. Not only that, not only the immorality of most, and I'm saying this, and I think I'm at, in most entertainers that we have, that the world has accepted, the sexual content, the nudity, the perverseness is real. And yes, they equate that, since it's Western civilization, and Western civilization is the one where Christianity exploded, they associate that with that as well. But the other thing I'd say about this one, Alex, is Satan hates children. That he hates children. We had this killing down in Jackson, Mississippi, where a six-year-old little boy was killed in a car when three thugs stole the car. And we don't know what all happened inside the car, but he was shot multiple times. I would say this along with what you said, Jake. Yes, but Satan inspires such things. And Again, this goes to the children, and yes, he hates them. Alex, would you add to that?
Well, I want to thank you for calling, sir, and I applaud everything you've said. I think you're absolutely right. I was in a restaurant sharing the gospel with a Muslim man, and he was talking about how he sees people come in his restaurant, and the kids are so disrespectful to the parents. And he said on Sundays, and, you know, it was through a heavy Middle Eastern accent that I was talking to. The man had a heavy Middle Eastern accent, and yet he was pretty observant. He said, these people come in my restaurant on Sunday. I know they've been to church. And he said, the kids are so disrespectful to the parents. And he said, you know, that's a type of blasphemy in Islam. And he was asking, how can you be Christian America when the women are dressed so immodestly after being in church, the kids are disrespectful to the parents, and he was naming a lot of things. And, you know, I said, well, you need to understand that though we did have Christian foundations, you can't call us a Christian nation in the sense that people are representative of Christianity merely because they're an American citizen. So the caller's right. Some of the terrorist activity in the West is due to the fact that we are, in the minds of many Muslims, the great Satan. We are infidels because we name the name of God, and yet we live an ungodly life. Another thing has been, certainly for America, our friendship with the nation of Israel. But, Bert, let me say this about the lascivious, ungodly, immoral things that pass for art these days. And I'll say this really quickly, and maybe we'll unpack it one day. But folks, you've got to understand, there's a reason that art in the Middle Ages was more beautiful. There's a reason that the painters and the sculptors painted things that were beautiful, from the Sistine Chapel to, you know, Peter Bruegel and the realism of the Middle Ages. The architecture was beautiful. There's a reason that music at one time was beautiful, and I've got to say, as a musician, that so much of what is produced today that is more electronic, and it's just noise, and it's not music at all. Let me tell you why art is not beautiful anymore, but it's hypersexual, and here's why. Because the whole motive for art was, in creating beauty, I would point people to the one that is the ultimate standard of beautiful, which is God. Art and literature and music and architecture was to be beautiful and harmonious because it would point people to the ultimate standard of order and beauty, which is God. Bert, my point is this. We've removed God. So if you don't have any God that's the model you're trying to point toward, all you have is chaos. And that's why people like Ariana Grande or these people that you see on the Grammys every year that have zero talent and all they can do is strip their clothes off and do things that point toward immorality, they don't have any talent. All they've got is carnality. And so that's the only stock that they can draw from for their so-called art.
And that's true over nearly all lines of entertainment, from comedy to drama, and highly sexualized, and it has taken over. And it took over the Roman Empire. Sexualization took over the Roman Empire, and the downfall would come. And so we need to be on target and not be buy into it as believers. Let's go to Texas and talk to Peter. Peter, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thanks again for taking my call. I write for a newspaper, and I have for a little over 6 years now. So I did a lot of research on the Middle East, things that are going on there, especially Islam and Muslims. And I've begun to see that the things that the Bible talks about that's going to happen in the tribulation are happening now. And not only right now, but have been happening. Bulgaria, Albania, China, where people are tortured and murdered and heads cut off, crucified, burned alive for their faith because they won't renounce Jesus Christ. And in this some of this research, I found a letter that Corrie Ten Boom wrote to the West. And she more or less chided the pastors in America saying you've done a horrible, this was back in 1974, said you've done a horrible disservice to China by saying that none of this stuff, none of these murders, killings for your faith will happen to us Christians. We will be raptured out of here before that happens. It caused me to begin to look at two scriptures that really changed my mind. And I wanted you guys to comment on these two scriptures. It's 2 Thessalonians 1 through 4, where Paul is saying, he's saying that Jesus will not come back for us, for the church, until the Antichrist is revealed and the great falling away happens. Well, the Antichrist, in Daniel 9:27, says it's in the middle of the tribulation. Now, that's not saying that's when Christ is coming back. It's simply saying that he won't come back until then.
Right.
The second one that got me, I want you guys to really look at, is Revelations 20, 4 through 6, where it mentions that it's talking about the first resurrection of the dead in Christ, and we are alive. And it says that the tribulation saints are in that resurrection. So if that resurrection includes the tribulation saints, then there can't be a first resurrection before the tribulation. I know I threw a lot on your plate.
Okay,
here,
well, that'll probably take us the rest of the time, and I hate for those that are waiting. Alex, let me just share with you. I want to give a little bit of my thoughts concerning that, Peter, and then I want Alex to take over. I do believe there's tribulation in the whole world at different segments and at different times. I do believe that, and I think we've seen that. It's been in the Sudan. It's been now in Syria. It's horrible in Syria. I think you can call it tribulation. But there's going to be a tribulation that is worldwide and not just in sections of the world. And I think it is. And Alex, that's the reason there's some discussion on some of these verses about will it happen that the church will be raptured out. I believe in the rapture, but I don't believe that causes us to escape difficulty and tribulation that we have, but the 7-year part of it. Go ahead.
Right. God bless you. Thanks for listening, and you raised some really good points. You know, there are a number of ways people have tried to understand the numerous passages about the end times. And, you know, we'll admit, you know, what we hold very firmly is that Christ will literally return and the evil world systems of Satan and humanity that are ungodly will be vanquished and Christ's eternal kingdom will be established. Now, within that, there's a lot to try to parse out and organize. I do believe in the rapture of the church and the 7-year tribulation. Now, I want to point you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because there are two things in there in verses 1 through 3. There is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it says, some have asserted the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you, verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians 2. For that day will not come till the man of sin is revealed, the man of lawlessness. So there's a distinction between the day of the Lord, which scriptures like Joel 2 talk about, and Revelation, that's the tribulation. And then there's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a difference between the day of the Lord and the coming of Christ. Whether the rapture is pre-tribulational, as I do believe, some have argued for a mid-trib rapture, some post-trib. You know, there will be martyrs during that tribulation period. And, you know, I, with all due respect to Corrie ten Boom and her, she's to be respected, I don't think preaching the rapture as it's written does do a disservice, though. We are to be ready for facing the Lord because he's coming.
He is. Be ready. And don't let that day overcome you as a surprise. So be ready for whatever comes our way. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio. Alex and Bert, we've enjoyed being with you. We hope God would bless you. And tell someone about Exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell someone about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.